have all had moments in our life that have significantly changed how we live. In fact, some of these moments or events have changed our life so much that we speak of them to others in terms of before and after. Before this event happened, this is how I was. After this event happened, this is how I was. For example, some of you may be saying, before I graduated high school, I didn't have a care in the world. But after I graduated, my parents made me start taking responsibility and getting a job and paying bills. Some of you may say, well, before I got married, I was independent and selfish. But after I got married, I learned what a joy it can be to serve one another and to care for one another. Others may be saying, well, before my health scare, I could eat whatever I want and I could do whatever I want. But after it, I have to watch what I eat and watch my stress levels. Or for Jen and I, before we moved to Muscatine, the Hawkeyes rarely beat the Huskers. But after we moved to Hawkeye Country, we can't beat anybody anymore. Merry Christmas, church. So we see a pattern of before, event, and after. Or what is our life like before the event? What takes place in the event? And then how is our life different after the event? And as we study tonight's passage in Galatians 4, we're going to see that this pattern unfolds in this passage. What were our lives like before Jesus was born? We see the event of Jesus' birth, and then we see how our lives are like after Jesus was born. And so let's begin with the before, which is found in Galatians chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. Paul, the writer of Galatians, begins by talking about how a child who has an inheritance waiting for them is actually in the same position as a slave who has no inheritance, in that both are dependent on guardians and managers. Neither one is truly free. Neither one has any possessions in hand yet. But then in verse 3, he takes that illustration from the world and applies it to our spiritual condition. He says that in the same way, we also, when we were children, and Paul's not saying, hey, back 10, 20, 30, 40 years ago when we were a little child, he's talking about our spiritual maturity as children. When we were children, we were enslaved to the elementary principles of the world. Now, there is some disagreement among scholars as to what elementary principles refers to, but a majority believe that Paul is referring to those things that we trust in the world for salvation. For some of you, you may be looking for hope and salvation in your wealth, that if you just accumulate enough possessions, if you accumulate enough homes, enough retirement fund, that you'll be secure. And that's your hope, that's your salvation. For some of you, you may be looking for salvation in a political candidate, that if the right person gets elected or the right people get elected, then the country will go in the direction that we want it to, and we can have peace in that. For some of you, may be looking for hope and salvation in other religions. Maybe you're praying five times a day to Allah. Maybe you're trying to cleanse yourself through yoga. Or maybe you're looking for a good fortune in today's horoscope. And you're believing that if you receive the good news or the good fortune that you desire, then you will be saved. And still many of us here today are trusting in good works for salvation, believing that on the day when Christ returns and we stand in front of God, that if we went to church enough, if we served enough, if we gave enough, that if we memorized enough verses and every time that there was a Christian meme on social media, we reposted it, that if we just accumulate enough good works, that we'll be good and granted access to heaven. And Paul has one word to describe all of those attempts at salvation: slavery. Paul says that in your search for eternal life, if it leads you to trusting in your wealth or a particular government, if it leads you to trusting in another God or your own good works, you are enslaved. You are not free. You have no possession coming to you. You have no inheritance, no salvation, no heaven, no eternal life in your future. And the reason is because in those cases, you still have sin in your hearts. The disobedience, the times that you have disobeyed God, has separated you from Him. And that brings us to our first point this morning, the before. That when we trust in the things of this world for salvation, we have no salvation. As I said before, there are probably some of you here tonight who are earnestly seeking salvation, whether you realize it or not. You're trying desperately to find hope, to find joy, to find peace, to rid yourself of the guilt and the shame that comes with sin. And you've been trying to find your answer in the things of this world, things you do, things you can have, things you can earn. And if that is you, please know this: you do not have salvation now. You still have sin in your heart that is separating you from God. But if that is true of you, and you are someone who is earnestly seeking salvation right now, realize your life can be completely different by the end of this evening because of a life changing event that took place that Paul speaks of here in Galatians. Look with me at Galatians verse 4. It says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of a woman, born under the law." When the perfect time had come, as God was orchestrating all these events all throughout history, lining them up, lining up the perfect time for Him to send a Savior. When we were frantically searching for salvation, when we were trusting in other gods, when we were waiting for the right political candidate, when we were working harder and harder and harder to be a good person, at just the right time, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law. And if we were to read the rest of the Bible tonight, and not just this passage of Galatians 4, we would see passages that talk about who this Son is and who He would become. Passages like Matthew 1:21, which says, she being Mary, the mother of Jesus, will give birth to a son. And you are to give Him the name Jesus, because He will save His people from their sins. And there we see why this child that was born, why this event is such a life-changing event for many. Why this event could, this very evening, completely change your before. It could change your life. It's that this, when we needed salvation, God sent His own Son, Jesus, to be born for us. Once again, when we needed salvation, God sent His own Son, Jesus, to be born for us. That's the event that we celebrate at Christmas time, that the Son of God came as a baby. He was born in a town called Bethlehem in a manger because there was no room in the inn. He was given the name Jesus because 33 years later He would die on the cross to save His people from their sins. It's an event that was predicted several hundred years before it happened. It's an event that took place about 2,000 years ago, exactly how it was predicted it would happen. And it's an event that we still celebrate and cherish today. At just the right time, when you and I needed salvation, God sent forth His Son Jesus to be born for us. And so now we've seen the before, we've seen the event. So let's turn to Galatians 4 to see how this event can significantly change our lives moving forward. Backing up a bit to verse 4, it says, "But when the fullness of time had come, God sent forth His Son, born of woman, born under the law, to redeem those who were under the law, so that we might receive adoption as sons. And because you are sons, God has sent the Spirit of His Son into our hearts, crying, 'Abba, Father.' So you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, than an heir through God." So now Paul gives us an even bigger picture of why God sent His Son Jesus to be born here on earth. He says Jesus was born to do three things. First, He was born to redeem those who were under the law. This word redeem means to purchase or to set free because of a payment. It was most often used to refer to the price that was paid to free a slave. And Paul says that we are set free from slavery, from trying to earn our way into heaven, trying to hopelessly be good enough, trying to hopelessly look for God to save us, trying to overcome the sin and this guilt and shame in our lives. Paul says that Jesus is willing to set us free from all of that by paying for our sins on the cross. Secondly, Paul says that Jesus was born so that we might receive adoption as sons and daughters. If we remember the before section earlier in Galatians, we saw that who we were before Jesus came was we were slaves. We were slaves to sin. We had no hope, no inheritance, no salvation, no possessions to our name. But through Jesus' birth and life and death and resurrection, God shows his love and his willingness to adopt us as his own child. And through this adoption, we now become heirs to a future inheritance we will receive in heaven. An inheritance full of great joy and full of peace and full of contentment. The same things we seek in this world, we can have through Jesus. And we will spend every single day with God in heaven, giving thanks and praise to him. We'll receive an inheritance because we're sons that is worth far more than any treasure we can have here on earth. Thirdly, we see that God sent Jesus so that we might receive the Spirit into our hearts. A Spirit that cries out, Abba, Father, displaying the joy that is within us, that we are no longer slaves and enemies of God. A Spirit that cries out with joy because we are now his children, that we have salvation and inheritance in our hands. A Spirit that rejoices over and over and over again at this life-changing event. A Spirit that for many of us is rejoicing in our hearts this evening as we celebrate and remember this gift of God's Son. And so now we see what our after could be like. It could involve redemption from slavery to sin. It could involve adoption into God's family with the promises of an inheritance. And it could involve a Spirit within us that rejoices and reminds us of who we now are and the work that God has done. And the Bible teaches us in John 3:16 how we can go from our life before to the life after because of this event. John writes, "For God so loved the world that he sent his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life." This is how all of us this evening can receive salvation. If you arrived here tonight looking for hope, looking for joy, looking for peace, desperately searching for salvation, God says, it is all yours. It is all yours if you believe. If you put your hope for salvation in Jesus alone. If you trust in his saving work that he has done for you and I. And so now we see the full picture of how this event can change our life. It can change our after. That as we believe in Jesus for salvation, God saves us from our sin, adopts us, and gives us his Spirit. Once again, as we believe in Jesus for salvation, God saves us from our sin, adopts us, and gives us his Spirit. That's the great news which caused the angels to sing 2,000 years ago. It's that great news that caused the shepherds to leave their flocks behind and go down, and cause them, after they had seen the baby, to run off and rejoice. It's that great news that caused the wise men to travel miles and miles and miles bringing gifts to worship the king. It's that great news that caused Mary to rejoice in her heart as she treasured these things. And it's that great news that continues to gather you and I every single Christmas to celebrate, to remember, to worship this baby that would be our Savior and our King. And so if you are here today looking for salvation, looking to be free from your guilt, looking to be freed from your shame and your sin, believe in this good news. Believe that God so loved you that he sent his Son to be born, to live, and to die for your sins. And if you believe this evening, God will most certainly save you. He will save you from your sin. He will adopt you into his family, and he will give you his Spirit, which will bring great joy into your hearts as you remember what Christ has done for you. If you are here today and you've already believed this good news, may the Spirit within us remind us this morning that it is, in fact, good news. May we never forget it. May we never dismiss it. May we remember how much we needed salvation and the loving God who provided it for us by sending his Son who would die for us. Jesus, the Son of God, became a slave to death so that we who are slaves to sin might become sons and daughters of God. Let us believe this good news is true. Let us rejoice that this good news is true. And as we leave here tonight, let us go and tell others that our Savior has come. Let's pray. God, for many of us, we often can't even bear to think of what our life has been like or what was like before we knew you. But Father, we've seen that we were slaves, that we had no inheritance, no hope, no salvation to our name, that we were enemies of you. And so, Father, as we gather here tonight, Father, that gives us great joy and great thankfulness that you have, at just the right time, sent your Son Jesus to be born, to live, to die on the cross for our sins, and to rise again. Father, we pray for all of those who are here tonight who have yet to put their hope and their trust in salvation, who are chasing after the things of the world for joy and peace and contentment. And Father, we pray that they would put their hope and their trust in Jesus, that they believe that God so loved them that he sent his one and only Son, and that if they just believe in him, they shall not perish but have everlasting life. Father, for those of us who are here this evening who have put our trust in Jesus already, Father, may this Christmas season be another joyful reminder, a reminder of your great love for us, of your gift to us by sending your Son. Father, may we never forget how much we needed you. May we never forget how much we still need you. And Father, would you also remind us of the great inheritance that we have in you, that we are no longer slaves, but sons. We are no longer enslaved, but we're redeemed. And Father, you've put your Spirit in us, which joyfully reminds us of who you are and what you've done for us. Father, may this Christmas season be one of great joy as we remember this incredible gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. We thank you that the Savior has come. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.